Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Hello, everyone. Happy holidays and welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's a pleasure to welcome back to our studios the very talented and charming George Marshall is back. Welcome back, George.
Nice to be back, Mike.
Nice to have you with us. George, of course, is the head man, the executive director of the Rhode Island International Film Festival. Among other duties that he has, as well as teaching and flickers and all kinds of things, television shows that we're going to find out about. He's just a general media guy.
Just a general man about town.
I'm a general man about town. There you go. Well, it's been a few months since you've been here. And tonight we're going to capture the big music from the big holiday releases that are probably going to be nominated for awards, or you'll explain all of that. Mm-hmm. But let's catch up a little bit with you personally. I understand there's a relatively new television show in the future on PBS?
Yes, we're working with Rhode Island PBS, Channel 36 in Providence, and we've been producing for the last 6 months a show called Double Feature, and it allows us to present films that people might have missed at our festival or might have loved at our festival and couldn't see them anywhere else. Mm-hmm. They're short films, so the program is on Friday nights at 8 o'clock. And a repeat on Thursday night at 10 o'clock on Channel 36. And the nice thing about Channel 36 is that you can actually get that station all the way up into Boston area, mm-hmm. because they're on other cable networks as well. I was really surprised at the outreach of that station. The program itself is really a lot of fun to produce, and we're working very closely with Stephen Feinberg, the executive director of the Rhode Island Film and Television Office. Stephen conducts interviews with filmmakers from the region. Our most recent show is with a fellow named Michael Grando, who's a actor, mime, and folks will know him from Waterfire and a lot of other things,
yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
even festival ballet.
Right.
But Michael has a wonderful history, and he was in a short film we showed this summer called The Shivering, and he won an award from our festival because the performance was just so amazing.
Great.
Nice, nice man. And so that interview with Michael is the most recent one that Stephen's done. But we've been able to tap folks from all over the country, frankly, that work in our state. And it's been a lot of fun doing it because you get to know people real well, as you know, when you do this type of
thing. Sure, yeah.
And we've done 6 months of programming now.
There you go. All right. So hopefully it'll take off and be syndicated nationally, and that'll be a nice thing to have.
It'd be fun. When you're doing stuff like this, you do it because you enjoy it. And that's been a pleasure and a drive for us because it gives us time to spend together. We learn more about each other as we're doing it, but we also are able to grow as artists in terms of how we produce the program.
Right. Now, every time you've come here, we've talked a little bit about the film festival, mm-hmm. And what's going on with that. And then we get into the music of some of the big movies, the blockbusters and so forth. Mm-hmm. Let's just catch a little bit up on the film festival.
Well, the film festival is one of these animals that just keeps mutating and growing, and in a good way. Our main festival's in August every year. We just finished our 20th anniversary. The parent organization, Flickers, turned 35 in November. 35 years of producing arts.
That's how old you are, 35.
Would wish.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's no time machine to take you backwards or something to keep you in the same. If I had my druthers, I'd be 25 permanently.
There you go.
But that's not going to happen. And this fall we did a sci-fi fantasy festival, Vortex. We're now heading into our annual red carpet affair, which is in the end of February, and that celebrates the Oscars. It'll be the 89th Oscar celebration this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been doing that for a number of years, and that's always a lot of fun. And it gives us an opportunity to celebrate the films that played our festival, as well as some of the films that we're going to be discussing today. We've got at this point on the Academy shortlist 8 films that are up for nominations.
Wow.
Which is kind of nice. And
they premiered at our festival. An unusually high number.
For the short film division, it's live action, animation, and documentary, and it's a high number. Wow. But we'll know mid-January how many of those actually went through that funnel to come out for the final nominations.
Well, that'll be great. That'll be very interesting. All right, well, let's get to some music. And you brought with you what we call big holiday releases in one way or another. Some of them are huge box office successes, and others not so well known.
Well, I figured not just holiday films, but also films that through the course of the year were major films and might have been overlooked by some of your listeners. So I thought what we'd start with is start with a classic, and that's John Williams. Now, John is close to 90 years old at this point,
but
he's still working. Mm-hmm. And last year he had a number of scores, including Star Wars. Mm-hmm. This year's Star Wars Rogue One is not his composition. On the other hand, his big film this year was the BFG. And that was a Steven Spielberg presentation and based on a Roald Dahl short story.
One about the giant,
the
right?
giant, yeah. Okay. So I thought it'd be worthwhile revisiting that because what better way to talk about film music than to listen to something composed by John Williams? So we're going to be listening to the overture to the BFG as well as the finale.
All right, we'll listen to it now. we have John Williams music and a story about a giant, which I must say, I didn't see the movie.
It's a fun film. I, to be honest with you, I think that's a film that's going to be rediscovered once it comes out on either cable and or Blu-ray DVD.
Right.
The film is typical Spielberg and very much Roald Dahl. And if you know Roald Dahl, he can be very dark. From Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, right. Down the line, there's always something there with Dahl. And I'm not sure where all that came from, but he certainly has influenced our culture. I mean, you know, his relationship with Patricia Neal, most of the stuff was written in when he was married to her. Hmm. And there's an edge to it. It's not your typical children's story. There's always something there that's a little bit deeper and denser. But that's what makes it intriguing.
Well, I'll look forward to it when it does come out on cable. That's probably where I'll see it. All right, let's go to another Disney hit, Zootopia.
Zootopia, which came out this spring and has already made more than $1 billion.
A billion.
Yeah, it's like $1023 billion worldwide.
Now, see, when I was a kid, on Friday nights, my mother and father would be out singing somewhere, and I'd be home alone at age 10 or 11, which was fine in those days. Everybody did that.
Well, yeah.
And I would watch the million-dollar movie on TV.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm not going to comment about you dating yourself, though I just did.
Wow. So a billion. Okay.
A billion. Well, you know, what's happened with the box office before we get to Zootopia, what's happened is it's international sales now. And it used to be just domestic box office. With that, you could only reach a certain plateau.
Right.
And the whole movie business has changed. You don't have the situation where you open up in a handful of theaters, and then you open it wide in a couple other, about 1,000 theaters a couple weeks down the road. And then you get into second run, neighborhood theaters. Now it happens all at once. So in our region, you know, they'll be opening up a major film the same time in a multiplex, and they'll also show it at the Rustic Drive-In the same weekend.
Yeah.
And it's all digital now. It's no longer 35 millimeter. Everything is digital. And that's been a major sea change in terms of the accessibility. But U.S. films specifically have a market internationally. The China market is huge.
Yeah.
And you're talking, taking Star Wars, for example, last year, you're talking more than $600 million minimum. Just being made in China on that film alone. That film reached $2.2 billion at the end of its run.
Yeah. Numbers are a little different than I remember.
Huge difference. Huge difference. So Zootopia just took off. And it's really surprised people because it was very sophisticated in terms of its storytelling. So I thought what we'd do here for this is we'd do the opening title and the main theme, the song that came out of this by Shakira, and it's called Try Everything.
I won't give up, no, I won't give in.
George, I think we have time for one more piece of music before our first break. What's our next movie?
Well, our next movie is a remake of Pete's Dragon by the Disney Corporation. And what's interesting about it is a total reimagining of what was a very popular children's movie. This time, of course, with better digital effects and new music. Now, of course, the standard that came from the original film was Candle on the Water. The new song is called The Dragon Song, and we'll hear it performed by Bonnie Prince Billy.
There you go. We'll listen to that. They can take a short break and be back with more.
Go north with wings on your feet. Go north with the wind where the three rivers meet. There's a clearing of sorts in a circle of trees where the wild constellations shine one, two, and three. Look all around you and see. Deep in the forest there dragons will be. They come from the earth, yes, they come from the stone. The icy cold north, that's where they call home. Go where the mountain kisses the sea. Better be brave, far braver than me. Look all around you and see. Deep in the forest their dragons will be. If a dragon should find you, you might ought to run. No one has lived through such a run-in, not one. So if you hear a roar, goodness sake, leave them be. Up where you find them wild and free. Look all around you and see. Deep in the forest their dragons will be. Look all around you, you won't find me.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with George Marshall from the Rhode Island International Film Festival and other projects. And we're talking about blockbusters of the year of 2016 and what might potentially be up for awards and so forth. Mm-hmm. We just listened to Pete's Dragon, and now we're going to change gears dramatically and go to a little more high society, Victorian
art films.
Art film.
Art films. Films that were made with less budgets, featuring stars you'd recognize, but also films that were not designed to be making multi-million dollars. Films that you'd find at local theaters like the Avon or the Jane Pickens. The film I've selected first to listen to are two tracks from Love and Friendship, a sweet little film that is a period piece that uses primarily classic music compositions. Some of this will be highly recognizable.
Thank you. almost seems like we should be having tea while we're talking after that music.
Very civilized.
Very civilized. And another one that was kind of played towards being civilized, a movie that, as far as I didn't see it, but I saw a lot of publicity about it, was about a woman that kind of created herself.
Exactly, and that was Florence Foster Jenkins. The film starred Meryl Streep, Hugh Grant, and I just remember watching it with friends. It was just charming. Hmm. It was just charming and very, very engaging. So the music is by Alexandre Desplat, who's done a lot of big films as well. And he's another new composer who is building a solid reputation within the film community. So I thought we'd do the title theme of Florence Foster Jenkins. Gone from the high society to a little bit of a swing feel with Florence. Mm-hmm.
We did not listen to her singing because
no.
That was part of the movie that everybody was supposed to be a little cringy about, right?
I think so.
You made an interesting comment while the music was playing about females in Hollywood and Meryl Streep in particular.
Yeah, it's just amazing because she continues to not only work but impress with the type of product that she's been delivering into the community. Most women of a certain age and her age don't get work in Hollywood.
Right.
And she's defied the odds. She's not stereotyped in some box. She's always reinventing herself, and I give her enormous kudos for pushing forward and exploring her craft the way she has. I mean, she is a legend.
There you go. All right. Well, now we're going to change gears again dramatically and go to is this another Disney product?
This is another Disney product. Disney's out there quite a bit. And do remember, Disney now owns the Star Wars franchise as well as the Marvel franchise.
Wow.
So you cannot escape Disney. This is a sequel to the Alice in Wonderland that was done a couple years ago with Johnny Depp. And the film did such good business, they decided to do a sequel, and this is called Alice Through the Looking Glass. Music, again, is by Danny Elfman. The opening title uses elements from the first film as well as the new film to set the character tone and the way the film is going to play out. I thought it was worth exploring simply because it's recognizable and it's entertaining.
All right. It's a little bit lengthy, so we'll listen to as much as possible, and then we'll take a short break and be back with more of George Marshall. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we are sitting with George Marshall, talking about the big hit movies and others from 2016 that might be up for Academy Awards or various awards of many kinds. Mm-hmm. And the movie themes are always interesting. Sometimes music is a bigger hit than the movie itself.
In many cases. And what folks probably have noticed so far is how eclectic the music is that we played this evening. It's not one specific type of genre. It's all across the board.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so exciting, because when you consider why we have music in film, mm-hmm. well, people today aren't used to the fact that you could hear projectors at one point. You could hear the film going through the projectors. And they needed to mask it, so they played music for silent movies.
There you go. And so that's why places like PPAC, when it was originally a movie house, had the big Wurlitzer organ, right?
Yep. And so that they had that standard. And then they also hearkened back to the stage plays that were done at the day, because they also included music mm-hmm. To entertain the audiences. They even had sing-alongs, even dramatic pieces that they put on stage. And so you had two pieces that came together: music with entertainment and live productions, and then music to mask noise. And we don't have that with digital today. And also, most people, when they did have 35 millimeter, they didn't really hear the projectors because they were behind
in the box.
And so we're just used to it now.
Right.
We don't look at the artifice of it. We don't look at it. Doesn't, I mean, how many people walk around with soundtracks playing as they're going through their life, unless mm-hmm. they have some sort of plugins? But the truth is, it's become acceptable and standard, and it affects our emotion. And music, with a film without music, really seems very hollow, and it doesn't really have that same emotional impact.
Well, I mean, it's a typical story of, you know, when the violins play a little minor key, then something's going to happen.
Yeah.
You get tensed up, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, movie music is very important.
And it can also transport you anywhere. So our last two pieces that we're going to be looking at are big box office films currently. And the first one we're going to be looking at, again, is by Michael Giacchino. And the film is called Doctor Strange. So I thought what we would pick up is the opening tracks and then see how that develops and follow through with that with the closing tracks.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Doctor Strange, another Marvel product. And Stan Lee always makes his little cameo appearance.
Always makes an appearance, and it's always some dry, smart comment.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange is a fascinating film, and I think it's doing well enough to probably bring back another film.
Wow.
And it's Benedict Cumberbatch, who, for whatever reason, everyone just loves him. He's a really amazing actor. Folks can see him on Sherlock currently on BBC.
Right. He's never done anything quite like this before.
No. And plus carrying a big film like this.
Yeah.
And this film just defied a lot of expectations. People were very pleasantly surprised when they saw the depth, the writing, the texture of the film, the characterization, and then where it went. Mm-hmm. It's a strong film. It's highly entertaining. It will not disappoint. It is comic book. Very comic book.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I want to just touch base before you leave us with other things that are happening at the festival and what's coming up after the first of the year.
Well, our big event is always our Oscar night celebration, which we've been doing now for almost 10 years. And that's going to be this year at the Biltmore Hotel Ballroom, which is a new venue for us this year. And it gives us a chance to spice things up a bit. It's always exciting for us because we get to see the Oscars live and eat a meal. And you can dress up like you're walking the red carpet.
There you go. And you're going to the Grand Dame of hotels.
Absolutely. It's going to be an exciting year. We normally limit the amount of folks that can come to this, so it's a prestige ticket. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of fun with it. Plus, we bring in celebrities. And we do give awards that night, our own awards, for folks from our community who've done so much within the film community.
Excellent. All right. Well, look for information on that after the first of the year. And then your actual nominations we talked about. You have eight still in
contention. We'll know mid-January, actually, which films will be nominated. And that, of course, will be coming from the Academy. And then it all starts all over again.
There you go.
Our main festival will be the 8th through 13th of August next year.
And people can keep track by going to your website.
Yeah, right? www.rifilmfest.org.
rifilmfest.org,
all one
dot
word.
.org, yeah. Okay, not festival, but fest. Okay. Fest. And you can always call George. His phone number is no.
But they can email me through the website. Right. I'm pretty good on emails, as folks will know from contacting me.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in, as particularly this busy time of year we are in mid-December,
it's always close
to the holiday.
Always fun, Mike. I really enjoy doing this with you. It's nice to rediscover some of this stuff and share this with folks that are in your audience.
All right. We have one more piece and one more movie to talk about. Mm-hmm. This one is one that I definitely want to see. I haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. Just opened a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
Tell us about
Beast. This is a continuation of the Harry Potter franchise, but this is brand new. It actually is a prelude to the time frame of Harry Potter, though some of the characters mentioned will be recognizable. What's cool about this is that the writer of Harry Potter actually wrote the screenplay. Mm-hmm. And this is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Very solid performances. Nice score by James Newton Howard, who also mixes in a little John Williams that we know from Harry Potter. And I thought we'd close the show with the main title from the film itself.
Looking forward to hearing it. And George, once again, thanks for coming in. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.